Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. You can follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards and listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix Monday through Friday. Me 1 to 4 p.m. on the Freaks, Bo 4 to 7 on the Drive. If you don't live in Phoenix or the greater Maricopa County area, you can download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fox Sports 910 Phoenix and listen that way. Maricopa County is the third biggest county by area in the United States, I believe.
That's a nice little factoid to open up the show.
Little nugget for you, because it's week 15 and the Cardinals suck, so we have other things that we need to talk about. Number one, I want to do this right away before you tell me that the Cardinals don't suck.
Well, I just want to tell you, I want to just put this out because I've been stewing on it for the last less than
23 and a half hours.
Maybe 12 hours, right? Okay. A big reason, because I've been preaching on this podcast for the last couple weeks, that Steve Wilks needs to go. And I've got I'm a little concerned. This is the biggest concern I have if the Cardinals move on from Steve Wilks. It may be a reason for him to keep his job. Okay? I want to get into that later.
Okay. Wow, mind blown. Normally I'm the one that gets a surprise bow with stuff because I talk first. So it sometimes just comes up off the top of my head. Here's the thing. John DeFilippo just got fired. Okay.
He gone.
He's not the coach with the Minnesota Vikings anymore, the offensive coordinator, after a drubbing last night. And listen, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back, which is something I never understood. I understand a straw can't break a camel's back. Doesn't matter. But they looked awful last night. They looked awful the week before.
The Vikings, yeah.
The Cardinals need help. And I have a foolproof plan.
Oh, boy.
I understand we just talked off mic about how people shouldn't just look at something that everybody's flashing a light on, be like, ooh, that's the guy, and believe it. But he did incredible things in Philadelphia before he went to Minnesota.
As a quarterback's coach.
And it's interesting. There were how many quarterback's coaches there? Three with Frank Reich and Doug Peterson. So that may be
a group effort a little
bit. Yeah, maybe making my projection here a little bit weaker. But the Cardinals will need a new head coach. And we can debate about this, what you talked about, next season.
Yeah.
And they themselves have a quarterback's coach that's interiming as an offensive coordinator at this point in Byron Leftwich. There will be thoughts and rumblings around all of Phoenix in the offseason. Hire John DeFilippo. When Steve Wilks get inevitably fired, maybe, then he jumps into the interim with the interim tag of head coach, and we'll see what happens from there.
You can't give him an interim tag. So you're going to take somebody's trash, and you're going to promote him to a head coaching position?
This is something that will be talked about.
He was at the quarterback. He was a quarterback's coach, and you're going to basically just hand over your franchise. You're struggling franchise to a guy that was just fired and a year ago at this time was a QB's coach in a brain trust that featured Doug Peterson, who was a quarterback himself, and Frank Reich, who's doing very well in Indianapolis as a first-year head coach. John DeFilippo was just such a trendy choice because people wanted to find the next Sean McVay, and he was identified, and then that name just kind of floated down to the masses, and it was just because otherwise QB coaches and offensive coordinators they're unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not gonna the obvious choice is often not the right choice, right?
Right.
I mean, Sean McVay at the time was not heralded as a good move by the Rams. I mean, it was he had done wonders as a prodigy at 31, but nobody. There were so many question marks whether or not a guy at his age could lead a franchise
NFL. Who was the last young head coach to lead a franchise? Lane Kiffin with Oakland, where he was young.
And that was a complete disaster.
So sure. that's really the only sample size that people had.
I mean, we've seen guys like Mike Tomlin at the time. We've seen guys like John Gruden was young at the time as a head coach when he was first starting out, and he had his successes, probably was more successful back then than he's been in the last, 10 years of his coaching. But Raheem Morris was a complete disaster, a guy that was young. I mean, it's not as easy as like, oh, go out, get the youngest offensive mind. That just happens to be the trendiest. What Michael Bidwell needs to do, and this is where I want to get to as far as the potential of Steve Wilks keeping his job and what he could kind of he shouldn't rest on anything, right? But the job security, the little job security that he has is the candidates out there. There's no clear-cut candidate to replace him.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, we're going to get to that right after we talk about Action Heat. And let me just clarify. I'm not saying they should. I'm saying this is something that will be talked about because the Cardinals, with Reggie McKenzie getting fired yesterday with the Raiders, which, listen, they're... What Reggie did with those draft picks is something that Michael Bidwell loves because that's the only reason why Steve Keim still has his job, with a couple home runs on draft picks, or home runs at the time they thought, you know, it were great draft picks with David Johnson, etc. So I'm just saying, I'm clarifying. I'm not saying it's the correct move. I'm still in the camp that Steve Wilks should keep his job at least through the middle of the next season.
Yeah, this episode brought to you by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Alex, I was up in Page, Arizona. I mean, we're bringing people into State 48 more so than they even want to in this episode of Locked On Arizona Cardinals. Page, Arizona, up there by the Four Corners. Little colder than Maricopa County.
Little nippy.
It's in the 30 degree range. I had my newly acquired Action Heat clothing, and it kept me warm in weather around 30 35 degrees. Engineered safely and efficiently to deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. That's me. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated-based layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is a perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid winter weather. We've got a special deal for our listeners. They save 20% off their entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything in Action Heat and what they have to offer. The actionheat.com/lockedon. Or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Bo is finally joining my side where Steve Wilks should potentially keep his job. I went high pitch for that. We'll talk about it after the break. Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. So, before the break... Bo, and before the beautiful read on the Action Heat live read. I mean, Bo really is a vision when it comes to live reads. I sounded sarcastic there. I didn't mean to. I mean it. The reason why he does them is because he does them 10 times better than I do. So, Bo was teased the fact that Bo thinks that there's something that Steve Wilks can rest on that strengthens his position to have a job next year with the Cardinals, correct?
As far as job security is concerned with Steve Wilks, there's not a lot of it, but he might be able to, and Michael Bidwell might be able to point to this for a reason to bring back Steve Wilks for a second season. And when you look at the guys who are the usual suspects, as far as filling head coaching vacancies, guys who are fired, let's look at the most recent guys who are fired. Hugh Jackson, no chance. That guy's a dumpster fire. 3 wins in 3 years for the Browns. You're not even going to sniff that guy, okay? Mm-hmm. You've got most recently Mike McCarthy, fired head coach, Green Bay Packers. Josh Rosen, your franchise quarterback that you're going to roll with. Best buddies with Aaron Rodgers. So you're already going in with a negative idea of who Mike McCarthy is because Aaron Rodgers, if any of the rumors are true, wanted Mike McCarthy out in Green Bay. How's that going to work if bosom buddies are talking about how much Mike McCarthy is not good at the head coaching position? So Mike McCarthy, you can probably take him out of the equation, yep. Right? You look at what just happened in Minnesota. They just fired offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. He didn't even last a full season there. He got the Mike McCoy treatment just a couple weeks later. I mean, he's gone. Maybe the offensive coordinator position was just too much for a guy who was a QB's coach at this point last year. I don't want that guy to be your next head coach. That's just the optics of that. They're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And in a franchise that needs to, this offseason, the 2019 offseason is going to be paramount. What they do as far as free agents and draft choices and how they retool their coaching staff and especially how they gear it towards the offense. If they bring in John DeFilippo in a QB's coach position, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to give him the keys to the franchise, that's idiotic, especially after you interviewed him last season in the offseason and Steve Wilks was the better candidate. It doesn't look like things have changed for John DeFilippo to get the leg up on Steve Wilks besides the performance of the Cardinals this season. I mean, we were talking about it off air. Look at the Minnesota offense. You just sank $84 million into your quarterback position in Kirk Cousins. Adam Thielen didn't have a target in the first half yesterday. I don't know if that's on DeFilippo or if that's on Kirk Cousins, but let's just call it maybe on both of them. And you've got Stephon Diggs. You've got a good running back core in Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook and a decent tight end in Kyle Rudolph. And you put forth a performance that they have the entire season. It's just
on paper, that is a top eight offense in the NFL.
Be. Absolutely.
I mean, there's no you give Matt Nagy that offense. You give a guy that is taking Matt Nagy is the new Sean McVay. And he just kind of trickled away in Chicago with no real offense and a young quarterback, and this dude is doing things that, you know.
I love it. I mean, he's putting Mitchell Trubisky, who I think is an average quarterback at this point in his career at best, and putting him in a position to be very successful in his sophomore season.
But now,
Matt Nagy was. I'd have to look back on this. I mean, outside of, you know, Gruden, I believe Nagy was the first guy off the board as far as the coaching carousel was
and
concerned.
He was the question, what the hell are they doing?
Really? I know. I mean, with the success that we've seen from the Chiefs the last couple seasons, he made Alex Smith look like a really good quarterback at that point. Very innovative in his play calling. No, I've always liked the Nagy hire.
But he was not a household name, and he didn't have all the flashlights pointed at him.
But that's what you're going to see. It's not going to be as easy as the name like John DeFilippo has been floated out there so often this season. Mm-hmm. People just want to look for the easy answer and just connect easy dots. I mean, there for every John DeFilippo, there's actually an effective play caller out there that's having success that once you kind of see him in a head coaching role and he has success, you'll be like, oh, it was easy. He's been there the whole time.
Yeah, right.
And you didn't see it.
Right. So you look at it's interesting because you're right. Just because there are names, and I've said this about the quarterback class, I was wrong with 50% of it, but I still hold true to Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen to a certain degree now, and maybe even Josh Allen, even though he's the best running back in the league now from the quarterback position. Just because Mel Kiper and Todd McShay say these quarterbacks are going to be good because they're the only ones coming out doesn't mean they're going to be good. It's not like, hey, we drafted him. He's 100% going to be good. We go back to the Philadelphia, the all-star team in Philadelphia with Vince Young? When Vince Young called him with Nnamdi Asamoah and all these guys. Hey, you guys still have to play football. The dream team. You guys still have to play football.
Right.
It's not just who has the best roster league. It's who executes the best in football, chess, not checkers, and you know whatever cliche you want to use. Coming back to Arizona, I agree. That's one thing that, even though last year there were 78 job openings and a bunch of guys, coordinators, that are looking for their first shot, it doesn't mean any of those guys were going to be good head coaches. It just means that's what was there. And this offseason, there's going to be way less. And there probably will still be a few job openings, but there will be a few job openings, different ones. I mean, who the hell knows?
I mean, there's always 6 to 7 job openings every year.
Right, but put it this way. Arizona Cardinals, and I'm not trying to be mean or mean-spirited or negative, they're not going to be at the top of a list with a bunch of openings coming up.
Which is shocking, is I would even put the Cleveland Browns higher than the Cardinals at this point on the list, just because you look at talents on that roster and what John Dorsey's been able to do in accumulating that talent and how Baker Mayfield has kind of separated himself from the rookie quarterback class.
Nobody really saw this coming with Baker. this good this quick, that with a kicker in the first 5 weeks, they could be ahead of that division.
They've got a good running game. They've got good wide receivers. They've got a good defense. Man, did they hit as far as the fourth pick. In
Denzel Ward,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, just been great at the cornerback position. But there's going to be an opening there. There's an opening in Green Bay. There's going to be...
maybe, you know, Tampa Bay, Denver.
Most likely Tampa Bay. I don't know if Tampa Bay is a better situation. Denver, certainly. You've got the Elway
effect.
History. You've got the history. You've got a team that's played well and shown this season that with maybe somebody plug in at that quarterback position, they can go somewhere. They've proved that. So you're right. It's going to be very competitive out there, and I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are going to have their pick of the litter. And I mean, that's a solid point, and that's something that Michael Bidwell has to know right now.
Right.
And that's why Michael Bidwell has to know that he has to do his research. And you can't go out there and go and make the same mistake twice and pick up next year Steve Wilks to replace Steve Wilks.
Right.
You have to find the next innovative play caller or whatever it is. And don't just go, oh, we're looking for the best leader. But you also have to see whether or not this guy is going to be able to not only lead guys, but is doing things that in his current position, whether it's offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, he's doing something at a higher level than other guys at his position around the league.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong about that statement. I just don't know. I don't know if he has the foresight to do it.
You're right.
And it's, listen, how many, we've talked about this, and trust me, I apologize in advance. In the offseason, we are going to be saying a couple phrases a lot. $65 million in cap space and a bunch of high draft picks. We're going to be talking about that over and over and over again, coupled with, I really hope Steve Keim's not the one to make the decision.
Absolutely. And that's why Michael Bidwell, and we need to get into this as far as why Michael Bidwell has to distance himself from Steve Keim if he hasn't done it already.
Fire him now, dude. Just
right now. No, you have to tighten up your inner circle, and you have to, and there's reasons for why Michael Bidwell has to just kind of block out the voice of Steve Keim right now. It's as important as any time in this franchise's history. And I guess we can tell him next why that's he needs to do that.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, we'll be right back. Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. You can follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, Monday through Friday. Me, 1 to 4 p.m. with the Freaks, and Bo, 4 to 7, co-host and executive producer of The Drive. So, Bo, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Bidwell has to tighten up his inner circle. If it isolates him from everybody else in the franchise and the organization, that's fine, because as we've pointed out, that this 2019 offseason is paramount. And when you look at what's going on around the league and you're seeing some of the names that could be potentially available, most recently John DeFilippo, who was fired as offensive coordinator from the Minnesota Vikings, Michael Bidwell can't just make the easy cherry pick choice of who's the trendy name. He has to do his research. He has to figure out who the next, you know, head coaching star is in the 2019 coaching class. I mean, it's going to be huge, because otherwise it's just going to be a revolving door, and you don't want to become one of those franchises like the San Francisco 49ers were, where they went from Harbaugh to Jim Tomsula to Chip Kelly to Kyle Shanahan. You have to find somebody, and Steve Keim has lost the ability to identify coaching talent, player talent, draft talent. It's just across the board. Steve Keim, wherever he lost his way. Steve Keim has done so many things for this organization and taken them from a joke of a franchise and helped in the scouting department to helping in the draft room to helping significantly and making strides as general manager. But at some point, maybe he got just overconfident and felt like his ways were the best way to do things. He is whiffed, and they need a new voice. They need a new guy, new architect. They also need so Michael Bidwell needs to find that guy, his next general manager, and then find his next head coach.
Yeah, and it's
He can't just do it on the fly once Black Monday hits after the regular season.
And this is
ends.
Why I'm and listen, I think Steve Wilks deserves another half a year. I do, and I think that there's we can talk about that a later day. And listen, we will talk about it coming up on Black Monday after Week 17's completion. So, Steve Keim, you said, has lost his way and hasn't, he doesn't know how to judge talent anymore. And I think mirroring Michael Bidwell's inability to adapt, that's what it is. It's Steve Keim. The talent is just, we've talked about this before, and we'll talk about this more on Thursday. We have the crossover Wednesday with Locked On Falcons tomorrow. But we'll talk about it Thursday and on to next week. Bidwell and Steve Keim have the inability to adapt.
And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of the Cardinals, you not use necessarily just full-on use the excuse of injuries, but if we were doing the podcast last offseason together, I think you and I would have both pointed this out. So I know we pointed this out in the offseason and the preseason and training camp leading up to the 2018 disastrous season, that the constructed offensive line, where the flagship station of the Arizona Cardinals wanted to point out that there was four first-rounders on that team. And guys like Andre Smith and Justin Pugh and Mike Iupati and DJ Humphreys.
Yeah.
None of those guys have stayed healthy over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And then you point to, well, I mean, our offensive line got injured this season. What did you expect?
Yeah.
What did you expect? You take four oft-injured guys and you expect them to do something that they haven't done the last couple of years of their career. I mean, that's
the definition of insanity.
Exactly. You knew exactly where I was going there. I mean, it's and then we just see Robert Condici go down. And I know injuries are, you can't predict them, but Robert Condici is a guy that's not had the ability to stay on the field. In college, it was other reasons. It wasn't injuries, but in his pro career, it's been injuries. And it's just another whiff by Steve Keim in the first round. And then you continually have whiffs in the first round. You should not have a job.
And with arguably the biggest draft since taking Levi Brown instead of Adrian Peterson many moons ago, that's what is on the horizon for the Cardinals. I promise we will talk ad nauseum about that after the season's over. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, we will check you tomorrow with Crossover Edition with Locked On Falcons.